My name is Pastor Mike Landsman, and this is the podcast for Zion Stone United Church of Christ. This podcast is taken from my weekly Sunday morning sermons. I pray that as you listen to them, they will be a blessing to you and strengthen you in your walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's what we have for today.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We're going to be focusing primarily on the gospel reading this morning. My sermon title is Shepherds. Jesus talks a lot in the parables, in this parable about being the good shepherd, about being the gate and being the door. But we're going to focus more on the aspect of his being the good shepherd and those who would shepherd after him. So we're talking here about rural agrarian societies, right, where wealth was measured in livestock and in land and in farming, not so much in 401ks and investment portfolios. But wealth was very much bound up with livestock. And so you need trusted people to manage this, right? Shepherds versus a hired hand, right? Jesus says, he uses this example, the shepherd owns the sheep, it's his flock, and the shepherd is likely the member of a large family. And when we think back about famous shepherds in the Bible, right, our mind should immediately go to, I think, Moses and David, right? So when Moses flees from Egypt, he goes into the desert and he comes across these women who are trying to water their animals, and there's people coming in and trying to keep them from doing so. He drives the guys away and he helps them water their animals. They bring him to their father's house. Father's like, you seem like a stand-up guy. Here's my oldest daughter, marry her. So they get married and Moses becomes a shepherd and he takes the flock out into the desert, right? He's leading them, he's guiding them, kind of like on-the-job training for what he's going to have to do 40 years later when he goes back to bring the children of Israel out. But then you also think of David, right? He's the member of a family. He's one of, I think it was seven sons, right? So while the seven sons are out at war, he is there minding the sheep. He talks about when Saul's like, you want to go fight this giant? What does David say? He's like, yeah, a bear came up and I killed him. And then a lion came up and he's probably exaggerating a little bit, right? He's like, I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him, right? From King James. So David had some experience driving away wild predators from the sheep, but the shepherds are members of a family. And so they have a personal stake in the well-being of the sheep. The lives depend on the wool, lives depend on the meat, and you hopefully, if you're a good shepherd, your flock will continue to grow and to grow and to grow. A hired hand, though, is not a member of a family. A hired hand is just someone who gets paid to watch the sheep, right? The hired hand doesn't own the sheep. There's no actual stake in what happens to the flock overall, other than maybe, you know, losing your job, right? There's no actual care for the sheep. As a hired hand, there's no actual love for the sheep. There's no actual action being taken for the care of the flock overall, right? You could hire somebody to like try to feed them and water them, but they're not going to really follow the hired hand, Jesus says. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. The sheep know my voice, he says. Hired hands work for gain, not for love. And so that's one of the differences, but one of the primary things that marks out a hired hand from a wolf is, from a shepherd, is the presence of the wolf, right? The wolf puts it all into perspective, right? Without a shepherd, the flock generally would scatter and the wolves can come easily and feast because sheep are not intelligent animals. With a hired hand, it's like no one's really even there. Because when a wolf comes to try to eat the sheep, a hired hand, he's not gonna do anything. He's gonna turn around and run the other way because he has no real interest in the survival of the flock because he can just get hired somewhere else. But a good shepherd will put himself in front of the flock. Right, a shepherd will guard the flock from danger. He will use his staff to drive away danger. Right, that's like why you see the shepherd staff. They have the thingy on there because you can use it as a weapon. A shepherd wants the flock to grow and to graze in safety and in peace. And Jesus is the epitome of this. He is, as he says, the good shepherd, and he does it for us. And anybody in ministerial work is basically what we would call also a shepherd, but we can only be good shepherds in the pattern set by our Lord Jesus. So we're going to talk about four things that good shepherds do in the example of Jesus. Number one is, hey, some of you are like, ooh, an itemized list, Pastor Mike. This is great. See, not every sermon has to be 3 points, right? We could do four. A good shepherd guards. Right? Luke 22, 31 to 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Right? Jesus is saying here, Peter, I am praying to the Father on your behalf. Because Satan is going to try to sift you like wheat. He's going to try to sift you like wheat. Like Jesus is praying for him, knowing what's coming, knowing what's going to happen. Peter says, I'm never going to deny you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, yeah, you're going to. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter's like, I will die with you. Jesus is like, yeah, just calm it down. Right? And we know the story. Right? Peter, Jesus is giving like a little bit of a, hey, this is going to happen. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, Jesus is anticipating this, right? He's guarding Simon against falling away like Judas. In John 17, 12, Jesus is praying and he says, Father, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. And not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Right? Jesus had them. He called them. He taught them. He led them. He protected them from harm. Right? When Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees, hey, your disciples are doing this, 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 and this. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's okay. They keep coming at him, coming at him, coming at him. But he also doesn't just protect them from physical danger, but also he spiritually keeps them, like what we heard just read just now, and what we heard read when he's praying that none of them would be lost. Jesus guards his flock. Jesus guards his flock from attack. Jesus guards his flock from the wolves. And so anybody who would shepherd in the example of Jesus will also guard their flock in this pattern. And wolves here can be symbolic of those who would try to devour, right? Those who would try to sow dissension, right? A wolf is somebody who comes in and says, man, how can I cause some problems here? They'll come in and they'll say, you know what we need? Ray's not a good head of property. We need a new head of the property committee. He was terrible. He said something really bad to me. By the way, please join the property committee, right? And then you say that Phyllis said that, right? That's sowing dissension. Phyllis would never say anything like that, right? Well, maybe. We don't know, right, Phyllis? I don't know. Sowing dissension, right? Trying to cause trouble, kind of like cause strife, right? This is what a wolf does. Another thing a wolf does is try to destabilize the church and attack God's people. Doing this through things like false teaching. Right? False teaching is something that's very real. St. Paul in the New Testament, he always is telling them to be on your guard. Be on your guard. Because when I leave, he says, ravenous wolves will come in. Right? So if there is false teaching, then there is true teaching. The job of the shepherd is to guard the flock from false teaching. Well, how is this done? Well, by stepping in front of it, or confronting it, or making sure that exposure to it is minimized to the flock. That's a very important role of a shepherd. And Jesus does this masterfully. Anyone who wants to do shepherd in his pattern needs to do this. And this is a very real thing, to protect flocks from the wolves. A good shepherd leads. A good shepherd leads. All right, let's pause there. Let's go back for a second. You might think to yourself, Pastor Mike, well, give me an example of like false teaching and protecting the flock from false teaching. Like what? I'll give you a concrete example, okay? Right now in our culture, there's two extremes, right? Most of us kind of dwell somewhere like in like a nice spectrum in the middle, right? In our country, there's two extremes right now. There is the extreme right, and there's the extreme left. Right, we have woke progressivism, and then we have extreme far right. Okay? A good shepherd is going to protect their flock from the theologies of both sides, because the theologies of both sides are extreme. I'll give you an example. During Lent, a devotional was made available for us as pastors. It was called Woke Lent. And it said things like, Paul and Jesus established congregations as laboratories of healing for oppressed people to decolonize and recover from the harmful effects of colonialism. And you think to yourself, wow, Paul is really, really clever that he's anticipating neo-Marxism and setting up these congregations to fight these things that we won't even know about until 2,000 years into the future, if you even buy into neo-Marxism, right? And on the flip side, you have people on the far right saying, if you don't support everything that a certain country, Israel, is doing in the Middle East, then you're not following the scriptures. Both are extremes, brothers and sisters, should be resisted. Now, both lead to disaster. Shepherds will guard their flocks from the wolves. Number two, a good shepherd leads. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Not to put too much into this text, but Jesus calls the disciples to follow him, to live with him, to learn from him, to minister like him. Right in that passage that we heard read from Acts, they pray, Lord, let us continue to minister like you did. The signs and wonders that you perform, let us continue in that to testify to your identity as the risen Messiah. And it says the Holy Spirit shook the place. A good shepherd leads. It's a simple statement. Follow me, but it's the call to something greater, situated in language that they could relate to. He says, I will make you fishers of men, right? Their vocation was as fishermen. A vocation is their vocation is actually not changing, except in the sense they're not going to get in boats and sail and throw out nets and gather fish. It said what they're going to do is they're going to go places, proclaim the word of God, cast out their nets in that way, and bring people to God's kingdom, right? Like Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And the disciples are sent out, the apostles are sent out in his name to do just that. And Jesus will lead them sometimes to places they don't want to go. He leads them to Samaria. He leads them to the garden. He leads them to the cross. But Jesus never leads them to places he himself isn't willing to go. And a shepherd, following the model of Jesus, does the same thing, leads as best they can from a place of humility, from a place of confidence. People don't always go where you want them to, so you have to work hard to show them a path. And people might not always understand the what's and the why's a shepherd might be doing something, but if there's a solid relationship there of trust, then God can lead them together to unexpected places. A good shepherd leads. Number three, a good shepherd feeds. A good shepherd feeds. Jesus leads to a place where provision is given. John 6:32-35, Jesus then said to them, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And in Matthew 26:26-28, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus provides for his flock. Jesus provides himself as food for his flock. Before his death, Jesus institutes the Eucharist, Holy Communion. Eucharist means to give thanks. This is what the church, the early church, referred to this meal as. Jesus knows his disciples, they will need his transforming grace, so he provides himself as our true food. And so following in his pattern, in his example, a good shepherd will feed their flock on Jesus Christ. Not on events, not on activism. We cannot subsist on that. We cannot feed on that. We cannot feed on activism. We cannot feed on events, hosting events here. Hosting events is good, and I think there's some things we should do, obviously, for the good of the community around us. Hence our working with organizations like Bright Hope to provide alternatives to the evils of abortion. But we cannot just subsist on that. We subsist and feed on Christ, our true life, our true food. And a good shepherd will feed his flock with Christ. Not just through the Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion, but also through the proclamation of God's Word, the preaching from God's Word, teaching sound doctrine, not bringing in false teachings like wolves will do. This is an easy one, but if you ever go to a church and they say, well, Jesus wasn't really God, he was just a wandering itinerant rabbi killed by the Romans. In fact, his mother was probably assaulted by a Roman soldier, and that's how Jesus was born. Right? I think that's the guy named John Dominic Crossan or Spong, I can't remember. If somebody gets up and tells you something like that in a service, that is your marker right there. Right? Get up and leave. You're not in a Christian church anymore. Right? Number four, a good shepherd is faithful. A good shepherd is faithful. Hebrews 13, 5-6, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Jesus is always, always, always faithful. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, the prophet Jeremiah tells us. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. When we are faithless, Christ will always remain faithful to us. When we run from him, when we deny him, he still pursues us. He still prays for us, just as he prays for the soul of Peter, right? I've prayed so that, because Satan is trying to sift you like wheat. Jesus prays for you. He continues to pray for you. Just because Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, we have this idea that he's just kicking back and relaxing now until he checks his watch and it's like, okay, well, it's time for my return. Let's go. Let's get ready. Jesus is interceding for us. He's praying for you, that in your moments of weakness, that you will turn and cling to him. In your moments of testing and temptation, that you will turn and cling to him. That when you are pressed down, when you feel oppressed, that you will grab and hold on to the hem of his garments, like the woman with the issue of blood. That you will hold on tight and not let go. Jesus is praying for you. He is faithful to you. Even the moments when you let go, he will continue to pursue you, because the good shepherd leaves to find the lost sheep. He leaves the others behind for a little while to find the one that's lost. Jesus is faithful to you, even when you are faithless to him. He will pursue us. And anyone who will shepherd in this pattern will do the same. Good shepherds are faithful to the flock. Good shepherds will serve their flock. Good shepherds will not gossip about the flock. They will care for them. They will not abandon them in hard times. Will not abandon them in hard times. Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, what we're working for, what any shepherd is working for, is working for what Jesus said in verse 16 of John 10. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. It's God's will that there be one flock, one family. And there are many divisions in our world. And so what a good shepherd will do, will try and lead us as best they can through those difficulties, through those hard things, always pointing to the good shepherd. Like, I didn't think about this. Like this, we just pass this picture somebody, we kind of take it for granted. It's a beautiful painting of our Lord. And sometimes, I didn't even think of referring to this, right, when I was writing this sermon, but it just popped into my mind right now. Like, it's a beautiful image, right? We have Jesus. He's leading, he's guiding the sheep. He's being faithful to the sheep. He's holding that hurt lamb, right? And he's got his staff right there. Like, meant to protect and to guide. And they're following him because they know his voice as he's leading them to the waters to drink. The water, which he says, that I will give, Jesus reminds us. The water that I give, you will never thirst again. And so to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we owe glory together with his Father who is from everlasting and is all holy, good, and life-creating Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening to the podcast for Zion Stone Church. If you'd like prayer or to reach out, please feel free to do so through our website, Zion Stone UCC, or through our Facebook page of the same name. Thank you so much for listening, and if you're ever in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania, please feel free to join us for worship Sunday mornings at 10:15. God bless you.